Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, where was the Danone or Danon company founded, and where was the yogurt sold at first? Manuel Mira was born in Orihuela, Spain in 1945. He studied law and journalism and worked for a number of newspapers in various capacities, including editor-in-chief. He was president of the Press Association in Alicante, Spain, and won several prizes for his work before retiring from active journalism in 2003. In 2004, he won the Azorín Prize for his novel El Secreto de Orcelis. Since then, he's published the novels Ella Era Islandia in 2008, the epic Madre Tierra in 2010, El Apeadero in 2012, and his most recent work El Olivo Que No Ardió en Salónica, published this year. He has written novels of intrigue and adventure, as well as historical novels, and even though his fiction belongs to different genres, all his works evidence the skill for in-depth research that he developed as an investigative journalist. Mira spoke with us about his work, and especially about his new book, El Olivo Que No Ardió en Salónica.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today, Manuel. Could you first tell us a little bit about your own professional background? I know that you started out as a journalist. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And also, you have worked in the theater, no?
Yes. I started to work like a journalist when I was very, very young, maybe 19, 20 years old, no more. Sometimes I have thought that I had a mistake, a very big mistake, choosing the journalism career.
Why?
Because the only thing I wanted to do at that time is to write. And I was a journalist with a very, very early success in the profession, in my paper, because in very few years, I was editor-in-chief, and then director of papers and with responsibilities. And I mean, I had to manage instead of writing. So I had a little frustration about that. But I think that with the passing of time, I realized that I was a very, very good journalist, and I loved, despite everything, I loved journalists. Because journalism has conformed myself as a writer. Many times I have thought that when people said, what do you feel first, journalist or writer? And my answer is immediately exactly the same, is the same. I am a writer thanks that I have been before journalist.
Except that I think journalism is very important in your fictional writings because you do a lot of research. I mean, your novels are mostly historical novels, which requires a lot of research, which is in a sense related to journalism.
Yes, that's why it's my own point of view. The thing is that in this case, the new novel, I think if I wouldn't been a journalist, I never could have the real possibilities for the research of documentation and many other things. Only one journalist, an adult journalist with experience as a journalist, can have the possibilities of doing the work that I have done. And I'm very proud of it.
Let's talk a little bit about how your books evolve. To begin with, how do you choose the subjects for your books? Because you've written a number of novels, mostly dealing with historical and sociological themes, but also adventure and thrillers.
Yes, and thrillers.
Yeah. So. But you've written a number of novels. How do you begin? Where do you think that the idea comes from? How do you choose the subject and the historical period that you're going to write about?
Well, I have to tell you on this question, all my novels are in my mind during a long time. And they are shocking to me. They are menacing me. They want to be liberated by me, and finally I had to do it, and it's very, very interesting. It's a very personal process, because I have to start with creating the main characters, then I design the structure of the novels like a painter with designs on a very big book in a with arrows and with many, many schemes. And when I have inside of me everything I have created, I start. And from then, I'm completely fluent. My brain is continually flowing the things that I have inside of me.
About how long does it take you to write a novel? Once you've started?
Well, the last one has been the longest one, because I think I have spent 2 years not writing the book, because writing has been maybe 1 year, but I dedicated more than 8-10 months, maybe more, for researching, for documentation. And it was very, very, very hard work.
So, in other words, you don't choose your subjects. The subject chooses you.
Exactly. That's yes, yes. Well, but sometimes, as now, I have ideas that they are in my brain. For instance, now I'm obsessed with a very nice main character of the Italian Renaissance, the Giordano Bruno, who was burned by the Inquisition in Rome. And I'm very obsessed about these main characters. And I, since a long time ago, I am researching and digging on this fellow.
How did you become interested in Sephirot and Sephardic themes, which already appeared in the book that you published in 2010, which was called Madre Tierra, Mother Earth, I guess, and it's also a theme in your latest book?
Yes, it's a very interesting question. The thing is that my interest for Sephardic Jews and the war of Sephardic people in general, it's a very, very old story in my personal career as a writer. I always have been like obsessed on this. I think the deportation of Jews from Spain is one of the most relevant events of the history in Spain. I tell you something about that. One of the main characters of the novel that you have named just a few seconds before, Madre Tierra, says something like this. The Civil War, the Spanish Civil War, didn't start in 1936, but in 1492.
Why is that?
Because Spain is completely different from that time. It's a very personal opinion. I think all the problems that we have now, the territory problems and the idea of being a nation of nations, is a consequence of that, of the centralism impulse by the Catholic kings in 1492. And one of these consequences was the expulsion of the deportation of the Sephardic Jews. It was a very big mistake.
Tell us about this latest book, El Olivo que no ardió en Salónica, which sort of can be translated as The Olive Tree That Did Not Burn in Salónica, which is the book that you are presenting now. It talks about the origins of the Carazo family. Can you tell us a little bit about that family, the history?
Carazo's family was a family from Salónica. They live in Salónica during the whole life. It was a very very accommodated family in the city. The city was very important, the second one in the Ottoman Empire. It has, at the beginning of the 20th century, more than 170,000 inhabitants, and from then more than half were Sephardic people. And one of these families was the Carazo's family. But the problem is that Salonica had many, many wars during that time, at least three wars, Italy against Turkey war, the two Balkanic wars, and furthermore, the revolution of the Jan Turks. One of the leaders, the most important leader of this movement, revolutionary movement, was the uncle of Isaac Carazo. And Carazo was fed up of all these kind of wars continually, and he decided to get all the family, his family, and to come back to Spain, to Sepharad, which was the dream of all his life, to come back to his land. And he started to make a very long and hazard and ominous trip in Europe, from the east to the west. And finally, he arrived with his family to Barcelona.
When was this?
In 1919, well, the 2 years before. In 1919 was when they created the Stanone factory in one apartment of the neighborhood of Raval in Barcelona. And but they arrived to Barcelona in 1917. But in Barcelona at this time were many problems as well. The social revolutions, the coup of Primo de Rivera in 1923, then the abdication of the king, the proclamation of the Second Republic, and finally the Spanish Civil War. And as a consequence of that, Carazo decided to flee from Spain to France to become a refugee there. And he was living in the south of France. And then, I don't want to count anymore, because and then was the most tragic pages of the story, the Soir. They were persecuted by the Nazis. And one of the son of Isaac Carazo, Daniel, whose name gives the name to Danone. Daniel Danone is the diminutive, the appellative, the nickname of Danone. Daniel, who has built a new factory in Paris already, had to flee to the United States. He stayed there during 3-4 years till the end of the Second World War.
Can you tell us more about the creation of Danone? I think most people think that Danone, or Danone, as we know it, is Swiss. I think most of us, most people have the idea that it's Swiss. Can you tell us a little bit about how that happened?
No. The Danone is in a Spanish firm. One of the apportations of this book is the new that the Españolidad, the Spanishness of Danone. And the thing is that when Danone started in Barcelona, it was considered like a medicine, because it was distributed in pharmacies with the control of the doctors.
We're talking about yogurt.
Yes, exactly. And because it was considered by Isaac, who was a very big dreamer, it was considered like the elixir of happiness. And as a matter of fact, Isaac, who was a very good friend of Ilya Menchnikov, another Jew who was Nobel Prize of Medicine in 1908, Ilya Menchnikov said that people who consume this kind of Danone, which is called haurt in Bulgarian language, prolong his life. And the dream of Isaac Carasso was to produce this kind of yogurt. And for this reason, it has curative properties and with the under the control of the doctors of Barcelona.
How did you first hear about them? How did you become interested in this story?
Because one son of mine, my son Alex, who is a researcher, a very, very good researcher, had, I suppose, a lunch or a dinner with very important people of Danone, and they told him the story of Danone, like an anecdote. Alex told me the story exactly in the same terms, and the green lights lighting inside of my mind, you know? And immediately I started to research on this very, very short story that I tried to make bigger and bigger. That is what I did during the last 2 years of my life.
How did you choose the name of the novel, The Olive That Didn't Burn in Salonika?
That's very...
The Olive Tree.
It's very nice. Olive Tree. Well, in Isaac Carasso and his family lived in the Calle Ancha in Salonika. And they live in a very nice house with a nice garden. In the center of this garden was growing, during the last two centuries, an olive tree from Spain. In 1917, Salonika was devastated by a fire, a very big fire. And this olive tree was the only tree in Salonika which resisted the fire, and it was without any damage. So it's a metaphor. The title is a metaphor of the resistance of the human being to survive and to fight against the adversities and against everything to live and to dream.
Have any of your books been translated into English?
It's very soon, I think, for my agent, literary agent, that there is at least one editor from Germany interested in this book. And I suppose it should be very nice for me, and I think it's going to be, because the book is has worth to be translated. But at the moment, there is one interested in Germany, but it's very soon to think that it's going to be translated. But I would like to.
What about any of the others, any of the previous books? Have any of them been translated into English?
No. Probably it's going to be translated the Madre Tierra to the Italian, but I don't know exactly, because I don't enter in this kind of questions. You know? Mm-hmm. All these things are managing by my agent, literary agent.
Are you working on anything now? Is there anything in your head fighting to get out?
Well, I told you before the obsess about Giordano Bruno, but on the other hand, I'm very interested again to dig deeper in some questions of this novel. For instance, the way the life of the mother of Isaac Carasso, Estrella, who is a very enigmatic person in this novel. But unfortunately, I hadn't possibilities to find out and to dig as I wanted to do, to find the personal story of this woman who is marvelous. And she is beside his son in the cemetery, the Jewish cemetery of Bayona in the French Basque Country.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone interested in translating this book and publishing it in English can contact Miguel Mira at the email address on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.